You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, all the issues. We cover down solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Monday before Christmas. All right, well, listen, that's the show as it's laid out for now. But as always, I start with my own monologue. So let me just kick over into that real quick, all right? Listen, I'll start off by saying this. We've all had times when we had to rob Peter to pay Paul. And by that, I mean that I'm sure that most folks listening to this have had those days where paying one bill meant not paying another. Or for that matter, maybe you had times when some very important bills, they got paid on a credit card or something like that. It can be extremely frustrating, and if you're not careful, it can get away from you in a hurry. To this day, I'm not sure how our family made it through my late-in-life decision to go to law school. I mean, there I was in my early 30s already, with a wife, two kids, a dog, and a mortgage. And now I go to law school? But with careful application of a second mortgage on the house, a little bit of GI Bill, two very modest day job paychecks, and a credit card, the shell game played out for 3 years. We used the credit card to pay for daily trips to Birmingham to go to class, pay down the balance as best we could, draw from the credit line to pay tuition when the GI Bill was short, pay it back down, then draw it again when the regular paycheck got irregular. It was 3 years. 3 years. A financial tightrope walking, but God was faithful. I graduated, and somehow the light stayed on, and the kids always had Christmas. And I'll be honest with you, though, Charlene was often the miracle worker. She literally used to sit down every month and plan out every dinner for the next month, every last one, and then she would take stock of what we had in the cupboard, and she'd make a shopping list for all the rest. I remember once being in a group of friends, and someone was complaining about the cost of groceries, and I was telling them how Charlene handled our groceries, and they were impressed, but their appreciation turned to shock when I told them that she fed the whole family of four and the dog for like $2.50 a month. One lady said, "My word, I spend that every week." Well, I'll be honest with you. That was part of the miracle of getting through 3 years of law school. There weren't many vacations, but the kids always had new clothes for school, and truthfully, we didn't lack for anything. In my recollection, there was a lot of laughter in the house, and we have said many times that we don't take it for granted, not by a stretch. But what I just described to you is what so many others have done or are doing now. And the Biden economy has made that even more pronounced in the last year with inflation hitting 40-year highs. But Charlene and I learned firsthand what it means to live within our means. Do we have some debt? Sure, we're still paying the mortgage on our beautiful home. But generally speaking, we're doing what many of you are doing. We're trying to live within our means. Unless, of course, you're the federal government. Because apparently the federal government is allowed to operate in what they call a spending deficit at every single turn. I mean, deficit spending is a term that every American should know firsthand. It is literally defined as, are you ready? Quote, government spending in excess of revenue of funds raised by borrowing rather than from taxation. All right, the bottom line is that where Charlene and I threaded that financial needle to get through law school with the understanding that every dime of debt incurred would have to be repaid, Congress does not feel that same pinch. Deficit spending is illusory. It presents to the world the false notion that you've got it when you don't. It is spending more than you've got, but somehow in the halls of Congress, that's allowable. Again and again and again. Every year, the United States government collects revenue from taxes and spends it on public programs and agencies. And if in any given year it spends more than it earns, its yearly budget will result in a deficit. So to cover the deficit, the U.S. Treasury has to borrow money, selling securities and treasury bills and notes and bonds and savings bonds. Just like an individual who spends more than what he earns has to borrow from the missing amount on the credit card, the accumulated deficits, though, year after year, form what we call the outstanding U.S. national debt. And there truly is no real plan to repay it. You know, just spend it like you got it. Well, this week, a number of moderate Republicans, including Alabama's Richard Shelby, are joining with Democrats in the U.S. Senate to hammer out the latest omnibus spending bill. It's a predicted $1.65 trillion spending extravaganza that comes at a time when the national debt already sits at roughly $30 trillion. And it got me to thinking, has there ever been a government leader in modern U.S. history who worked to reduce our public debt in a meaningful way? You may be interested to know there was. It was President Calvin Coolidge. I read a biography on Coolidge recently, and I came to a real appreciation for the man. His bio from the Coolidge Foundation says some of this. John Calvin Coolidge was born in Plymouth Notch, Vermont, on Independence Day of July 4, 1872. His family led a very simple life, and Coolidge worked from the time he was very young. Coolidge entered the practice of law and politics, and he worked his way up the ladder into Massachusetts state politics and eventually became governor. In 1919, he backed up the police commissioner in Boston when the commissioner was removing all the striking Boston policemen. Coolidge's tough stance on that 1919 Boston police strike drew the national spotlight, and it revealed him to be a man of courage and decisive action. Here's his quote. He said, "There's no right to strike against the public safety by anybody, anywhere, anytime." Well, soon after that, Coolidge was elected Vice President of the United States in 1920. Coolidge succeeded to the presidency upon the sudden death of President Warren G. Harding in August of 23. And Coolidge restored trust and credibility to the office of the presidency. In 1924, he was elected president in his own right. And under Coolidge, and here's my point, under Coolidge, the federal budget was balanced and the national debt was reduced. When Coolidge left office in 1929, the federal budget was actually lower than it was when he arrived at the White House some 67 months before. One of his quotes is, "I am for economy, and after that, I'm for more economy." Well, the nation fared so well under Coolidge. I mean, keep in mind, they didn't have excess spending, but people still prospered. Go figure. The nation fared so well under Coolidge that people spoke of what they called Coolidge prosperity. The Coolidge decade saw great technological advances. This was the decade when many Americans' homes were first electrified and the decade when the automobile became widespread and Charles Lindbergh flew his transatlantic flight. President Coolidge left office wildly popular. He famously chose not to run for re-election in 1928. Get that? He could have run for office again, but he chose not to. His quote was, "The chances of having wise and faithful public service are increased by a change in the presidential office after a moderate length of time." He was a humble man. He even went out and campaigned for his successor, Herbert Hoover, in 1932. And on January 5th of the following year, 1933, he passed away, and he's buried in a simple plot in his family burial ground in Plymouth Notch, Vermont. Listen, I say that story to tell you that here we are in the midst of radical deficit spending. And it is possible, not necessarily easy, but certainly possible, for a visionary leader to address fiscal policy effectively. Now, Coolidge may have lived in a different time, and he certainly didn't take office with all the debt that we currently have on hand, but his principles and his adherence to the principles are timeless, and they are lacking right now as Congress just continues to spend it like they got it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, $30 trillion in debt. Good Lord. Stop and think about what that means. I mean, basically, it's potentially possible to never be able to repay that. But we can certainly take stabs at it, and we can stop growing government, and we can stop the massive levels of entitlements and giveaways. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, we can do that without 87,000 new IRS agents. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, the text lines are open, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And by the way, that's also our call-in line. You can call in on that number. Before I go to the phones, I will tell you, we got some interesting texts in. Ken from Athens has texted in. He said, perspective on how much $1 trillion is. If someone spent $1 million a day since Jesus walked the earth, they still would not have spent $1 trillion.
Ooh.
That's amazing.
That blows my mind.
I kind of ran the calculator on that a little bit, and I believe he's right.
Oh, my goodness.
My calculator started doing funny things when I started to add it up, but I'm pretty sure he's right. John from Huntsville, with regards to our Christmas party, wants to know if there was camels at the Christmas party. No, but I do need to post a picture of me with a camel because that's big doings.
Absolutely.
That's right. At another Christmas party. had a live nativity with a camel. It was kind of cool. What else we got on there? And then Brian from Huntsville, with regards to my wife being the shopper par excellence with regards to our shopping budget, she fed a whole family of four and the dog for $2.50. She said, that's a lot of ramen noodles. Or he said, no, I'm glad your dog liked ramen noodles. That was Brian from Huntsville. And I said, ain't nothing wrong with ramen, but we ate better than ramen. I got a caller on the line. Let me jump over there and grab that real quick. James from Huntsville. Hey, James, how you doing today?
Pretty good, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking we could solve this deficit if, the $35 trillion in missing Pentagon assets were just sold to China for $35 trillion, and then we'll let China find the assets. And whenever they can find them, they're theirs.
Wow. You know what? We had several billion of those in Afghanistan alone.
Right. I mean, let's just sell them the missing stuff. Then we won't have to worry about it.
The problem is we may find out that China's already got all that stuff, and that's why it's missing. Who knows?
I didn't think of that.
Well, hey, James.
I'm a ruffian.
Thanks,
I
man.
I listen to you every day.
We appreciate you, man. Have a great week. Have a great week, all right? All right, line two, let me grab that real quick, Booms. Jeff from Indiana. Jeffro, how you doing, man?
I've been better.
Uh-oh.
Sit for 3 hours with a flat tire in Kentucky.
Oh, man.
I'm running late, man.
It's one of the hazards of your profession, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. It's not much fun.
Well, what's on your mind today, brother?
Well, they're talking about all this money we're spending and everything. We're basically bankrupt already. We just got stupid creditors.
Yeah.
Would you invest into somewhere that was that much money?
No, I mean, I know a guy who, for some reason, can always get the bank to do something extra for him, and I'm thinking, how do you do that, and why do they do that? But that's where we are right now. We're the nation that continually puts our good name against debt. But at some point, you have to recognize that there's only so far that can go.
And a lot of it is paying people to vote or whatever. I don't know. But I walk into a truck stop yesterday, and the subway in there is closed indefinitely because the people just walked out and just said they didn't need a job. So, I mean, as long and it can't find anybody to work. Why are we paying people on welfare programs? Why is anybody on unemployment? I want to know, it's. And you got a lot of these commercials now, I hear, about the, getting foreign workers to work the farms and everything. Why would we need anybody to work the farms as long as we got Americans sitting on their butt not willing to work?
Well, that's the problem.
I say kick them off these welfare rolls and kick them out of these unemployment and stuff that, I work every day. I'm working 70 freaking hours a week.
I know. And then even longer when you get a flat tire.
Yeah, this is a 16-hour day for me today, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, yeah. Jeff, we're up against the break, brother. You be careful. I'm glad you're back on the road, and we'll talk again soon, all right?
Phil, thank you.
All right, thank you, buddy. Wow. All right, well, that monologue got some reaction, like right off the bat, texts and everything else. And Tyler from Huntsville wants to ask Jeff where he is in Kentucky because I'm headed that way on 65 South. All right, so Jeff, Tyler from Huntsville is willing to meet you for a cup of coffee, I guess. I don't know, but anyway. All right, listen, we're going to take the break here in a second. We're going to come right back. I'm going to switch gears on you. Going to number one in the Triple Dipper, the border crisis. And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you think it's been bad, the projections are right now that unless something major occurs in the next 24 to 48 hours, that it's going to get a whole lot worse, which is hard to imagine when you look at some of what we've been seeing on video. And I'm telling you, it's as if, well, we don't. We don't even have a border in some places. It's just nothing but a constant stream of mass migration. And it's having a dramatic impact on our nation. And it's, to me, it's probably one of the crises of our time. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back. Number one of the Triple Dipper, border crisis. Stay tuned.